right across the page, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we're on 27 in the course book, and we'll have the girls be the hallelujahs, the boys will be the praisey lords, okay? So let's start it out. Hallelujah, 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 praise the Lord. Nice and loud, guys. Hallelujah. Sung that one a long time. Let us bow together in prayer as we begin. Pastor Logan, would you lead us in prayer? Amen. 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 You may be seated. By way of announcements, we want to direct your attention to our bulletin. It's good to have each one of you here with us tonight, and we look forward to worshiping the Lord together. We don't. But it's a blessing to be together tonight. Just by way of announcement, we look forward to VBT coming up in about a month or so. And then Memorial Day picnic is this coming Monday already. Can't believe already it's Memorial Day. And so bring your favorite food. If you want to grill something, we'll have two grills available for cooking. And bring your favorite outdoor game, and we're going to have a little volleyball game to get everyone involved in, so it'll be a nice time. Then, just by way of other announcements, continue to pray for our intern that's coming, and pray Thursday night. We do have visitation. If you'd like to help follow up the Good News Clubbers from these past five weeks or so, help us out on Thursday night. Then invite them to church, and that will be it. 7 p.m., so if you can help with that, give me a call or text me. That way we can plan out assignments ahead of time. All right, any other announcements that need to be mentioned this time? Is there anything else? Okay, this time we'll have our ushers come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings to God. And let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Lord,
amen. share a blessing tonight. Find out how the outreach ministries went so far this week. How did Atlantic go? Carol?
Our numbers were very low because of a conflict. The activities person scheduled a trip at the same time as we were there. However, where two or three are gathered, and we may have had just a few, but nonetheless, we had a good time in the Lord.
Amen. Amen. All right. Then MediView went well with Esther and I today. We had a they had entertainment as well. So we had a few in number, but with the ones we had, we were glad they came. All right. Any other blessings to share or prayer requests? Yes, Elsie? All right. Your mom's turning 27. Okay. Who else? Prayer requests. Or answer to prayer. Either one. All right, I hear Armani is inviting a lot of friends for tonight, so pray for Armani. All right. Yes, Lydia? Okay. Pray for Faith to get better from your ear infection and cold. Anyone else? Felony. Okay. Anyone else? All right, pray for Darnell as he starts soon with the church, working here at the church. Praise the Lord for him. He's going to be starting in June. All right, anyone else? Savant. Okay, she's coming next week. Pray for Alzina. All right, anyone else? Yes, Azaria. Okay, it's coming up. It's in June. Okay, and then I heard also Pastor Logan's birthday is coming up. What is it, June 3rd? First? June 1st, okay. What's that? Oh, that's Azaria's birthday too. Oh, they're both June 1st birthdays. Okay. And it's a milestone for Pastor Logan, so. All right, it's one of the decade birthdays. All right, anyone else?
I do have a prayer request from Atlantic today. One of the ladies that sometimes comes to our services, named Desiree, caught me on the way out. She was one of the ones that had been on the trip, but she got back and she caught me on the way out and asked that we pray for her brother, Sean, who is in the hospital. She hasn't gotten to see him yet, but she knows he needs our prayers.
Okay. Pray for Sean. All right. Anyone else? William.
I moved to my new house on June 1st.
Oh, good. Where are you going to be living? Absecon still?
Near the woods.
Near what?
Near the woods with my mom.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to get a new puppy soon.
Getting a new puppy. All right. Blue, okay. Pray for William and his family as they move into a new house. And we heard the good news about baby Grayson. Baby Grayson's doing well. So he's, praise the Lord for that. His kidneys are doing well. So praise the Lord for baby Grayson. Anyone else? Prayer requests or answer to prayer. We're taking prayer requests or answers to prayer tonight. Thank you. Anyone else?
I have one.
Yes, Esther.
A friend of mine called me this afternoon and said her father-in-law has Alzheimer's disease in Linwood, and they're requesting prayer for him and for the family because it's really hard on them, you know, all the stuff that's happening all of a sudden. And George. And it's the Steppens family.
Okay. Steppens family. All right, anyone else? Any other prayer requests or answers to prayer? Okay, at this time we'll dismiss. Actually, we'll stay in here. We're going to divide up into our groups to pray. And we want to teach those who don't know how to pray yet, okay, how do you start a prayer? Does anybody know how to start a prayer? Okay, blessing? Okay, so dear Heavenly Father, or dear Father in Heaven, however you want to start it, but it has to be, remember what Jesus said, our Father which art in Heaven, hallowed be thy name. So dear Heavenly Father, and then you can say thank you, or I praise you, or I love you, and that's a great start to your prayer, and then pray for your requests. So, here, let's make some more room here. Is God just, does he just want to hear our requests? Is that it? No, he also wants us to praise him and to confess our sins. So you can think of it like this, A-C-T-S. Adore him, adoration, that means praise him for something. Then, after you praise him for something, then confess your sin. You don't necessarily have to do that in a group, but do it in private. And then after you confess your sin, then you should thank him. Thanksgiving. And then supplication. That means to ask for things. Ask for people, for things. You're going to ask him for whatever needs you have. And then when you close your prayer, how should you close it? Bella? Very good. Because Jesus said, whatsoever things you ask in my name, I will give it you. So we always want to pray at the end. Don't just say amen. You just say amen. Or some people don't say anything at all. They just, and thank you for this day. Then you're kind of left wondering, did they close? Are they done? Or are they still going? Are they just pausing? So it's good to always close out in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay? So this is just a helpful chart. Thank God for at least one thing tonight for what he's doing in your life. Okay, any other prayer requests? Okay, at this time we'll break up into groups. Let's have Mrs. Slepidus take the front row, right here, this front row, and then Mrs. Gibson take Azaria and Savon, and they can go back with Zion, and then we'll have Blessing and Briella and Holly go over here with Mrs. Hodge and Miss Pat. Blessing, Briella, and Holly over here. Okay, and then we'll have Dom come on up here, and then we'll have Messiah and William. Can you go back with Miss Felony? Okay, she'll take you back there. She's at the back there. All right, good. All right, Dom, you can come up with Mr. Hodge right in the front here. Okay, so it'll be Darnell, Paul, and Mr. Hodge. Number 12. Mark chapter 12, as we're studying through the Gospel of Mark, we're almost done. How many feel the air conditioning tonight? We just got it put in. Yesterday, thankful for Brother Wellington and Wayne, our neighbor Wayne Transu, who helped us with that, and so we're thankful for God's provision, a good air conditioner. Had to turn it off. That's how cold it is. That's I think it's Yeah, I just turned it on like 10, 15 minutes ago, and that's how quick. It's very efficient. Yeah, it's even faster than our other one was, for sure. Mark 12, starting in verse 35. That's where we are. We're going to look at some specific principles. This is the, if you want to remember it, in prayer. How do we pray? What should we pray for? Somebody made a little acrostic that helps us to understand prayer. So we start out, dear, as Jesus said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So start out with our Father in heaven, or dear Heavenly Father. Then adore him. Say thank you for we praise you for whatever you are doing in my life. We praise you for creating me, and thank you for creating me. So sometimes adoration and confession can be interchangeable. And then after you adore the Lord, then you confess your sins. And then you ask your prayer request. So it's a good acrostic for remembering how to pray, what to pray for. So praise him first. So he's not our heavenly ATM machine. Sometimes we treat God as a heavenly ATM machine where we're just asking, and that's all we ever do is just ask. Well, he's more than that. He's our great God who has made us, who has given us all things. And he loves us, and he wants that close relationship with us. So a good way to remember, okay, well, what do I pray for? What order? There's no specific order that you have to do, but somewhere in your prayer, praise him, confess your sin, you know, praise him or thank him. I like to reduce it down to three. That way, some people will say, I can't remember four. Okay, let's reduce it down. So praise and thanksgiving can all be in the same. Then confess, and then ask. We always remember the asking part, but we sometimes forget the confessing part. Okay, so good way to pray. And then when we're in a group, you don't want to necessarily confess your sin. You know, well, please forgive me for lying to my neighbor, and everyone looks at you like, okay, too much information, you know. So, but in a group, you can reduce it down to adoration and supplication to make it simple. Those two things to try to keep in your prayer. All right, let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us, your greatness, your majesty, your glory, how you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross in this sinful earth for our sins. We can't thank you enough for sending your Son as to be our Savior. We praise you tonight. We are thankful that you have brought us through another week. We especially think of those in prayer who are not feeling well, that you just put your healing hands upon them. Think of Brother Roy, that you just continue to heal him. Pray for Faith, that you just help her with her double ear infection. Pray to also be with baby Grayson, with his... we thank you that the kidney function is well, and the other tests that they did came out well. We praise you for that. And now we pray for these spasms that he's having. Lord, we pray that you just help the doctors to find out why these are occurring, Lord, and that you'd help him to grow out of this, that you'd just help them to stop as he grows, as his little body grows healthier and stronger, that you would just help these spasms just work themselves out, and that you'd heal him with your mighty hand without even the doctor's intervention. But Lord, we pray that you would just do that mighty work that only you can do on his little body, and we thank you that he is eating, and we thank you for the fact that he is growing, Lord. We praise you for that. We pray you'd be with our study tonight, that you'd help us as we study your word, that you would help us to grow, help us to gain insight into it. We pray that your Holy Spirit would teach, guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 35, it says, "And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ, is the Son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself called him Lord, and whence is he then his son?" Okay, so here we have an interesting statement. The scribes were asking Jesus all these questions. They wanted to try to trip him up. They wanted to say, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Is it lawful to pay our taxes, or should we just give to God? You know, as if we can cheat our taxes so we can give to God and all these different things. And they were trying to put Jesus in a corner, and Jesus said, "Show me a penny." And he said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God." He turned it around. Then same thing when they asked about marriage. Marriage is not the only be-all, end-all relationship. And that's Jesus showed them that. In heaven, we're neither married or given in marriage. That our first, most important relationship is our relationship with God.
Amen.
And then all the other relationships will work themselves out. And for those that aren't married, guess what? It's not the be-all, end-all relationship. God has us in our relationship for a reason. And sometimes sin happens, and those relationships dissolve or get decayed, or things happen. But we are thankful that our relationship with Jesus is the most important one. Okay, so they kept trying to trip him up time after time, and he passed them all with flying colors. And then they got to the point where they were so upset with themselves, and so realizing that he was answering everything just perfectly, that they durst not ask him any more questions. They said, "Whoa, we feel really sheepish now." Why? Because they were trying to trip up the Son of God. And they realized they could not trip him up. He was perfectly answering their questions. Well, here now Jesus asked them a question. How say the scribes that Christ is the Son of David? Okay, you teach this. You teach this in your teachings that Christ is the Son of David. Well then, why did David say, David therefore himself call him Lord, and whence is he then his son? Because the Lord said in Psalm 101 and verse 2, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. So here, Jesus is saying, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, David said, the Lord said unto my Lord. Okay, that David is recognizing Jehovah is saying to his Lord, which is, who's David's Lord?
Jesus.
The Messiah. And so here, he's saying, look, the Lord, Jehovah is saying to David's Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. So right here, David is acknowledging that is his Messiah, his Lord, is coming. And David therefore himself calleth him Lord, and whence is he then his son? Okay, they kept saying, oh no, Jesus, we don't believe you're the Messiah. Jesus, you're an imposter. Jesus, you're just a good rabbi. We can't find anything really wrong with you. You're a great teacher, but you're not the Son of God. That's what the scribes and the Pharisees were trying to say about Jesus. But notice Jesus now saying, they held David up on a pedestal, but they helped Jesus right about here. Why is that? The Pharisees and scribes and the Sadducees held David real high and Abraham, but they held Jesus way down here. Well, it's because their heart was hardened. They did not want to say that they were a sinner and believe on the Lord. And so here we see, how did the common people respond to that? To Jesus teaching and preaching, verse 37. How did they respond? Verse 37. And the common people what? They heard him gladly. Okay, so the common people heard him gladly. Their pride didn't get in the way of calling Jesus Lord. They didn't. Their pride. They said, oh no, we don't need a Savior, we're just going to keep being good, and all those things that we like to say in our flesh. Okay, so number one, we see tonight that number one, the Bible is very specific. Okay, the Bible is very specific Here Jesus referred to Bible inspiration and preservation, and it's very important. It's a very important doctrine, and it's being attacked today left and right. Oh, it doesn't really matter what Bible you use. They're all the same, and there's, you know, sure there's 200 different translations of the Bible, but, you know, there's 30 to 40 real popular ones, but it doesn't matter what you use. And then when everyone's reading, say, I can't, you know, you're reading one version, I'm reading another one over here, and many churches, they're all reading all kinds of different translations, and no one can really follow along. Why? Because there's such confusion. And we know, what is God the author of 30 different versions?
No, he's not.
No. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, God is not the author of
confusion.
Okay, would God want to confuse us with a bunch of even 5 or 10 different versions? No, he wants us to know that his word is authoritative. It's been preserved, and it is precise. The Hebrew and Greek is very precise here. It says, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost. Here Jesus is referring to the inspiration of the Holy, of God through the Holy Spirit carrying people. He said by the Holy Ghost. So Jesus is very specific in his words, referring to the scriptures. He quotes it exactly from Psalm 101 verse 2. And so therefore, we should not tamper with his words. I was just showing someone on Sunday night. They said, so what's the difference between the versions? So we looked at there's a little pamphlet out in the hallway. I encourage you to take it on the way out. The yellow pamphlet, it says Bible version comparison study. And sure enough, it goes from Matthew to Revelation of all the different verses that are changed or taken out or whittled away. And that's just some of them. And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of places. And they change hell, the new versions, ESV, NIV, NASB, they change hell into Hades or Sheol. Yeah, that's real clear, right? We're making words easier to understand. Well, what's so hard about hell? Not hard at all. You ask the common person, they did an interview, okay. What does Hades or Sheol mean? I have no idea. They asked people walking down the street. Nobody knew. Then they asked the same people, what does hell mean? Oh, you know that place down there that's got fire, you know. And everyone knows hell, but no one knows Sheol and Hades. Well, that's how the new versions obfuscate the Word of God. They make it confusing. They make it something that's not easy to understand. That's just one of many different places that they do that. They take out Jesus. They take out Christ. They take out His titles, the Lord Jesus Christ. They take one of those out of any of the verses that talk about that. So there's so many attacks against Jesus in the new versions. That's why we stick with the King James Version. Yes, you have to study the Word of God. It's not going to be immediately apparent every verse. Some verses are real easy. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. The Gospel of John is made for the new believer, so the new believer can immediately understand it. The average length of word in the Gospel of John is 4 letters. 4 letters. Why did John write such short words? It's for the new believer. So point the new believers to the Gospel of John, and that helps them to grow. Then have them go through the New Testament. And so God has milk and meat of the Word. Okay? All right, so coming back to the Bible is very specific, number one. Number two, Christ was believed or accepted. He was believed on by the common people. When we share the gospel with unsaved people, you know, the average person who's not proud, you know, especially kids. Kids are not proud yet. So they have a natural tendency. You tell them about Jesus. You tell them that God loves them and God made them and they're special to God and God has a special plan for their life. And then you tell them that we're all sinners and that our sin deserves to be judged in the place called hell. But that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, and Jesus wants to save them, and they can call on the Lord to save them right now. You tell a child that,
And guess what? They naturally are drawn to Christ. And they naturally say, oh, well, that's simple. You know, see, easy. Okay, can I do that? You know, I haven't had too many kids. When you share the gospel with them, you know, they're usually the first ones raising their hands. Who'd like to trust Christ as your Savior tonight? Would you like to know 100% for sure you're on your way to heaven? If you are, just raise your hand. Well, guess what? Most kids will love to raise their hand. Why? Because they're not proud yet. They haven't made the gospel complicated like we adults have. You know, that can't be that easy. I have to help God out. You know, I may be a sinner, but I have a lot of good works that I can bring to God. And I'm a good person, basically. You know, I'm not that bad a sinner. Come on. And we try to rationalize and reason, and our pride gets in the way. So here we see Christ was believed by the common people. Jesus didn't have to go to the tax collectors who were cheating people, and to the sinners and the harlots and the men who were whoremongers. He did, and the others who were doing intoxicating things over here into the vices. He didn't have to go and keep preaching, oh, you guys are too proud.
Right.
Stop being so proud. You just need to repent and believe the gospel. Stop. Why are you being so proud and such hypocrites? No, Jesus didn't have to preach that message to the publicans and sinners. No, why? Because they saw themselves as lost. They said, Lord, you're right. You are exactly right. We are doing wrong things. We are in a pattern of sin in our life, and we don't want to keep going this way because we see it's destroying us. It's destroying our body. It's destroying our family. It's destroying our home and all these things. We don't want this anymore. And so the publicans and sinners gladly, the common people, gladly receive the Lord as their Savior. And that's what we need to stay at. You know, college is good and master's degrees are good, you know, especially if you use it to help people. You know, becoming a doctorate. You can use a doctorate to help people. But unfortunately, the more education people get, the more they get away from the fact of the simple truths of the Word of God.
That's correct.
Because they start thinking that, well, it's all these scholars and experts. They are the ones that know everything. And it's books. If they're an author and all these things. And we can only trust the scholars and the experts who are paid millions of dollars to tell us what to believe and what to learn. And so we see scholarship has taken so many believers away from God and so many unsaved people to a point where they won't even believe on Jesus as their Savior. Why? Because they've reasoned Jesus out. Okay, so here the common people, the ones who didn't have all the privilege and all the wealth and all the other things that some had, the Pharisees and scribes, they gladly believed on the Lord. Because they didn't complicate it. And so that's what we need to do. We need to keep it simple. We need to give the gospel in a simple way with people and say, hey, you know what? You're not the only sinner out here. You know, I was a sinner. I'm a sinner, and I was just like you. I was in your situation, and here's my testimony. And we need to identify with people and tell them, hey, you're having a tough time in life. I was having a tough time in life. But then I found Christ. And here's what he did for me. And so we need to identify with the common people because that was our story as well.
Right.
Number three, then we see Jesus, after the common people heard him gladly, verse 38, and he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogue and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. So he says, there are some, the religious fakes, beware or stay away from religious fakes. There are many on TV, many in the big churches, or many in the gilded churches, the ones with the gold on it and all the statues, and they say, oh yes, you need to keep doing and doing and doing, and to go to heaven you've got to be like me, and watch me, and I'll transform this wafer into the body of Christ. And don't put them in your pocket. You got to put them right on your lips and in your mouth. And they make a long pretense with big, long robes. That's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. They loved these big, long robes all the way down to the feet. Where everywhere they went, people said, whoa, look at, oh man, that's a fancy robe. Whoa, boy, look at that. And they made people look at them with their show. And they made a long prayers. Oh, surely these must be spiritual people. They're praying a long time. They're praying for people, and they're praying and doing this. And so they made a great show, but meanwhile, they're devouring widows' houses. They're literally saying, oh, yeah, stay with our church, and oh, yes, why don't you just donate your church to us, and all these things, and donate it to God, and God will give you great things, and all these things. They were making pretenses, and Jesus said they were religious fakes. So watch out for religious fakes. Number 4, verse 41, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Is everyone there? Okay, we're in Mark 12:41. He beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Jesus stopped what he was doing with his teaching to stop and look at the boxes. At the box that they would have in the front of the temple, they had a box that was to collect the alms, to help the poor, to help the widows, to help the orphans, and also for the temple worship to keep going with the sacrifices. And so they had a box there, and the rich people would parade in, and they would make a big show as they put in a lot of gold and some talents and some pounds and all these expensive pieces of money into this treasury. Many that were rich cast in much, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. It's not even a penny yet. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast it more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. She's cast more in than all the ones who cast in all the big gold coins and all the expensive things into the money box. She cast in the 2 mites. See, Jesus sees and knows all about our life. Jesus knew everything about that widow. He knew everything about the religious leaders coming up to the box. He knew everything about the rich and the poor and the middle class, and he knew all about every one of them. But Jesus paused from teaching to say, hey, look, disciples, look over at the box. See that woman over there? Do you see her? She's coming up to the box and putting in 2 little mites. Well, guess what? She's given more than all the rest of them have.
Right.
Jesus saw the proportions that the others were giving. They may have looked like a lot, but it was not a lot. It was not everything they had. It was just a little bit. Well, here this woman cast in, verse 44, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So we see point number 4. We need to trust God with our money, give our first fruits to Him, trust God with our money, and He will supply our needs. Jesus said, look at her, look at this lady coming up. She was older, she lost her husband, she didn't have necessarily a stable income. But yet she's casting in everything, all the money she has. She's giving it all to God. And who knows, maybe, you know, the religious scribes and Pharisees possibly were going to waste some of it, you know, with their poor decision making. But notice Jesus doesn't say, don't give. He says, give, and I'll take care of all that. He says, give, and I will take care of you. That here Jesus was going to take care of every need she had. Even though she didn't have any more money to rub together, she was in a good place.
How was she in such a good place? Because Jesus was going to give back to her more than she had, more than what she gave. Jesus was going to multiply her monies. And so we see here tonight, Jesus, number one, knows all about us. He knows all about our income. He knows all about our money. And He will supply our needs if we just trust Him with our first fruits. Trust Him with your tithe, which is, in the Old Testament, that's what they were asked to give. In the New Testament, that's our starting point. That's what they were asked to give. In the New Testament, they gave out of their they gave cheerfully to the Lord, and they gave out of their abundance. They gave out of necessity. The Macedonian believers, they gave out of their poverty. They gave. So sometimes we make an excuse. Lord, you know I only make, $50. I only made $50 this week, Lord. You know that's a very little amount. How can I possibly tithe on that? All right, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Here's that first $5. We give that $5 in the offering plate. And God then takes that $45 and He then multiplies. He grows it. Why? And He sends us blessings. Number one, He rebukes the devourer. It says in Malachi 3:11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. That all that the devil wants to just ruin in our life because he's the devourer. God says, nope, can't touch them. You can't touch that Christian. They have given their tithe to me. They have trusted me with their first fruits. You can't touch their stuff. You can't touch their car. You can't touch their appliances. You can't touch their this and that and the other. You can't touch those things because I'm going to keep making them work well. And then when they do break down, I'm going to make sure there's extra money in there to provide their needs. Why? Because we're first entrusting our tithe to God. So let us realize Jesus is, if He could take care of this widow that gave all that she had, these two mites, to God, and He said, look at her disciples, look at this lady. She's given everything she has. And Jesus said, how do we know how the story ends? Jesus didn't tell anything else. How do we know how the story ends? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 to find out how that story ends with the widow. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. let's start with verse 30. Verse 30. Matthew 6 verse 30. Here's the end of the story of the widow. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Wait, where's our next meal coming from? Where's our clothes? Where's our rent money coming? Where's our mortgage payment? Where's our car payment? Where's all the things that we have need of? We're not going to have to worry about that, Jesus said. Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Okay, the unsaved, that's what they're preoccupied with. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here Jesus says, this lady, she sought first the kingdom of God. She sought first Jesus' righteousness, this widow. She gave these two mites to God. She said, Lord, I'm putting you first this week. And sure enough, so how did Jesus take care of her? Well, all these things shall be added unto you. All the food she needed, all the clothing she needed, all the shelter she needed, everything her needs were, was met. Why? Because she first sought the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So here Jesus talks about possessions. You know, Matthew 6 talks extensively about possessions, money, treasure. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. My wife and I, we like to give to church. We like to give that tithe in the offering plate. Why? Because it makes us happy. It makes us joyful. Hey, God's getting our first part. And it makes us satisfied knowing that, hey, we're seeking first the kingdom of God. And sure enough, guess what? He'll then take care of our needs. And sure enough, God supplies our needs in just miraculous ways. Some weeks it's a sale at the store. Wow, well, that's a really good deal. Some weeks it's a gift from someone. Wow, that came out of nowhere.
Or some weeks it's an extra check in the mail, or an extra tax or more in tax return, or something like that. Or it's someone giving something that you just don't know how God is going to provide all your needs. But let's not limit God by keeping stinginess to ourselves and saying, no, I don't want to give to God, or I'll give him $1 out of my 50 instead of 5. God says we should not rob him. It says in Malachi 3:10 that they were robbing God. Why? In tithes and offerings. They were saying, Lord, I can't afford that much. We actually can't afford not to tithe. You know, because we don't want to rob God and still have the devourer, you know, soaking. It's better to give one than none, sure. It's better to give two than none. But the devourer will still have some leeway in your life. He'll still have some part in your life. So it's better to give all 5 out of the 50. And let God do his work of protection. Let God, you challenge God. God says, prove me now herewith. Say, Lord, if you'll keep your end of the bargain, I'll keep mine. You prove God for 4 weeks in a row. You give your tithe to God, and I guarantee you, you will have more from the 90% than you ever had from the 100%. You will have more. You will have your needs met. You will have, God's going to supply miraculously. And one man said, oh, I can't afford to tithe. And this businessman said, oh, you can't afford to tithe. And it was a preacher. And he said, yeah, I'm an itinerant evangelist, and I just can't afford to tithe to God. And, you know, I help out so many churches and people. I need every dollar for myself. And this businessman said, no. I'll tell you what. You give God your tithe. You give him your 10% of everything. And I guarantee you, anything that's lacking, I will write a check. You just tell me how much, I'll write a check to you. So this evangelist said, okay. This poor preacher with a big family said, okay, I'll do that. And so he started giving. And right about the time where he's wondering, okay, we need some food. Out of nowhere, some people came to him and said, hey, preacher, we've got some pigs. We got some extra pigs this week. And can your family use 3 pigs? To dress and to take care of and then to sell the rest. Sure, absolutely. Oh, okay, great. Here, you can have them. And sure enough, he was able to use that. And then the next week, we have 40 watermelon out here, and we just don't know what to do with it. Can you use it? Sure. And here he is, week after week, he says, wow, God is definitely supplying. Every time I give that 10% to God, he's in return, I'm getting so much more. And then all of a sudden it hit him. Here, he didn't have to. The businessman said after a year, he said, so I haven't heard from you. You know, do you need any money? The businessman said, has God, you know, left you hanging in any way? And then all of a sudden the preacher felt so embarrassed. Here he was trusting. He said, I'm trusting a businessman to back me up if I tithe to God, when I should be really saying, Lord, you're the one who's backing me up. And he saw for that whole year, he didn't have to ask for any money, and his family was more blessed as a result. And so it just goes to show, any time you give to God and trust him with your needs, he will give more than back to you, just like he did for the widow. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight. To be reminded of these great truths from your word.
Amen.
That Jesus is all we need. And that the world needs him. The world needs to hear of him. If we will only just tell them and share what great things he hath done for us, Lord.
Amen.
We pray that you would help us to enter into your harvest fields, as you told the disciples when the woman at the well went out and brought in her whole city. And Jesus said, the harvest truly is white, already to harvest. Lord, help us to see the field as needing our help, needing our family members, needing Christ, our friends needing Christ, our loved ones, our nieces, our nephews, our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren, our brothers, our sisters needing Christ. Lord, help us to see them in their time of need and lost without you. Lord, help us to have compassion and just share our testimony, how you saved us. Lord, we pray for the young people tonight, some of whom are hearing the gospel, perhaps for the first, second, third, fourth time. And
Lord, we pray that you would just help those seeds to blossom in their life, that you would, that the harvest would be reaped, and that they would be saved even tonight. That you would do that work in these young hearts. Lord, help keep them from the devil. Help keep them from the spoiling that the world wants to do to them, Lord, and help keep them close to you. And Lord, we thank you so much for your great love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so we have a few minutes, and then we'll have the kids come in. Tell us what they learned. Tell us what you learned tonight. We have real briefly. From now on, we'll try to meet at 7:15 so we can report at 7:15. Okay. Yeah, come on up here, will you? Oh, yeah, you just sit at the front, and you'll be telling us a little bit.
We have a bird.
Great, excellent. All right, go ahead. What did you learn? Zion?
The lesson was on responsibility.
Good. What did you learn about?
Like the story?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, like, there was this one boy, he had his first job. He was supposed to take care of the chickens, but he messed up 3 times. First, he didn't shut the gate latch after him, and then one chicken escaped, so he had to get it back, and he got it back. Then he left the food crate open, and then the last one, he didn't know that he left the gate door open, so 3 of the chickens got eaten.
Okay.
And then when the lady came back the morning in the fair early, he thought Wajah was there. And when she told him what happened, he said sorry 3 times. But he still got his $10. But
okay.
He wasn't hired anymore.
Okay. So anyone share a verse or a badge that you earned tonight? Anyone earn a badge or a verse?
Didn't have book time?
Yeah,
they did a lot. Holly, what badge did you
earn tonight? I didn't earn it tonight.
Actually, you finished it last week, but I didn't get to sign it. I signed off on it tonight.
Yeah.
Which was it?
That was the America one.
Right, the America badge for Holly.
Yeah, she didn't get
it.
All right.
But then I almost got another badge.
Okay, well, you keep working hard.
I have to do finishes, and then you get it.
Okay, good. Well, I know a lot of verses were learned tonight. Is anybody brave enough to do one of the verses that you learned? Go ahead, Briella, good for you.
Psalms 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Psalm 34:8.
Very good.
How about you, Blessing? Do you remember Ephesians 6:1? Children? You did it very well. Just think. While you're thinking, Rachel, you learned a lot of verses tonight. Can you pick one that you learned that you could say for us?
Yeah, you could.
Try. You don't think you could do one? All right. We also learned the Star Spangled Banner. Messiah had to learn it for what he was doing, so we all learned it.
Yeah.
Would you like us to sing it for you?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, say, can you see by the dark early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whom but Christ and Christ on, through the perilous fight, for the hands of
Thank you.